Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're going to start our dive into the Talons of the Emperor. And we're going to start with the least hard to see of all the playable armies in 40K.
Golden bananas, baby.
Yeah, seriously. Like, custodes are giant gold beings who have rules allow them to sneak. No. Anyway, before we begin, as always, please comment and subscribe on the podcast. We actually do see all the comments, just so you know, or by we, I do. I laugh pretty hard in the morning when drinking coffee and reading some of your guys' comments. Also, they do help our analytics, which lets us reach a much wider audience. So by doing something as simple as that, it really does help us. Obviously, we talk about it all the time. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Please join our Discord. It's free for you guys. It's become a great resource for 40K lore, just general conversations.
We have some wild conversations.
That's fun as hell.
And I'm saying today, and I love it. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking music the other day. I mean,
we're talking about life, family, what kid you were. Are you the oldest? Are you the middle kid? Are you the youngest? And you know what that was sandwiched in between? What was the best faction?
The best faction. We also, at one point, were discussing how bad your eyes have gotten post 40. That was a fun one we did one day. Sorry, guys. We're old.
But I really enjoy the Discord. We have multiple channels, which might be even more channels later on, but we're having some lively debates and discussion. And I really enjoy everybody coming in. John responds more than I do because I'm a lurker and whatever.
Yeah, Brad's creepy. I actually just engage. We also have a link in our show notes to our Patreon. Those of you who've already subscribed and are contributing, it really does help a lot. Hopefully you guys can hear the improvement. We now have better microphones. I was actually able to hire someone to do some basic audio leveling and editing for us to help clean up some of the sounds.
He's close.
Yeah, it's been a lot better. So hopefully it's been a nice change for your ears. And it's also been a nice saving to my free time. And thank you guys for doing that. But as always, we also finish up with Brad is a coach of 40K. So if you want to play Warhammer on the tabletop online via TTS, Brad has coaching for it. Everything from like basics of gameplay all the way through up advanced concepts and tournament preparation. And you can reach him at
Old Man Brad 40K at gmail.com.
I'm not even gonna tell you the website. Good luck figuring that out. So let's jump into the topic at hand. So today we're gonna dive. It's a two-part episode we're doing. It was originally gonna be three, and then I realized assassins take more time than I thought. So two-part episode on the Talons of the Emperor.
You mean the detachment in 40K, John?
No, goddammit. Jeez, like, why is it GW's totally comfortable just making up words and then randomly just reuses something over and over again to create confusion? It is designed poorly. Anyway, the Talons of the Emperor is referred to as kind of the left hand and right hand of the Emperor. The one hand is the custodes. The other hand is the Sisters of Silence. And he hits you with both of them because he's a terrible father.
True story. Bad English dad.
Yeah. Well, this is more American dad, actually, because a bad English dad, the one who doesn't talk to you, this is more bad American dad who just beats you. Like, that's if we're talking global.
Are you eating bacon and shooting into the air?
Yeah, exactly. Oof. So the key things on the Talons of the Emperor is where they overlap is that they report to nobody other than the Emperor themselves.
I mean, they did report to Malkador, but he's
how's he doing today?
He's not good.
Not great. Yeah, he's not doing great. Yeah.
He does not exist.
he dissolved and he was a perpetual. So anyway.
Think bad things happen.
Yeah. So they also can override orders. They carry, because they report to the Emperor, it is inferred that they take their orders directly from the Emperor. So that means that if a custode or a Sister of Silence tells you to do something, they're speaking with the authority of the God Emperor himself.
They have more authority than Inquisition, where the Inquisition is the inquisitorial writ. Then you have the custodes. I don't know.
So it's funny.
Giant that. Junk writ.
I actually looked that up. And yeah, I was like, wait, which way does this go? It took me a while to find it. Yes, the Inquisition are overridden by the custodian guard. Yeah, they carry more authority than the Inquisition. They can just
go, that's cute what you were trying to do, but also no.
In fact, they can order an Inquisitor to do things.
Also, I'm 9.5 feet tall, so if you want to get into an argument
There are definitely two parts to this argument. Part one is I have the authority to do this. Part two is you can challenge my authority and no one will know you did.
Yeah. Just letting you know, I'm pretty tough.
In a future cast, we're also going to cover the what has become recently the third Talon, which is the Officio Assassinorum, which, by the way, Microsoft Word loves when you type that out. The level of red squiggly marks you get is pretty impressive.
I do like the fact that you completely bailed on it.
Yeah, I just gave up. It's because it's not writable this many times. So we're going to do these two casts back to back, and then we may go right into Assassins afterwards. I haven't decided yet. So on today's cast, though, we're going to start with the Custodian Guard. Brad's second favorite chapter after Imperial Fists.
My biggest problem with Custodes is what we're going to start with right now, which is what is a Custode? Because Custodes are the biggest disconnect between lore and
yeah, and that's what I was about to say. Does your dislike of Custodes Custode lore or tabletop Custodes?
It's tabletop Custodes.
Because we're going to hit on that lot.
Because I didn't even know. So I knew about Custodes and what they were in the lore. Because remember, I learned lore first, then learned the game. And they were the worst transition into the...
Yeah, you know what? I didn't put that in the notes. So let's take a little bit of a left turn from our notes and start with Custodes on the tabletop. Because I do think this is important. The Custodes have been in the lore since 1990. You know, somewhere in that realm. Maybe even earlier.
They are the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. They are what the Emperor wanted to make Marines, but he couldn't mass-produce Custodes. Yeah,
and we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But Custodes entered the game in 2017.
Yeah.
So for 27 or more years, they've been talked up. They hit the tabletop.
That's my issue.
They hit it like a piece of sludge falling off a roof.
I was playing or reading 40K for 20 years before the Custodes came out. Custodes were these figures of lore. They were mystical figures.
That's such a great way to describe, because they could only exist in the lore.
Yeah.
Because of how powerful and incredible they were.
Because they also didn't travel.
Yep.
They only went to certain, their biggest thing was they guarded the Emperor. They were the keepers. Yep. And then they only went out on these very secret little whatever, you know, you saw a Custode and people were like, no, you didn't. Yeah. You might as well just saw Godzilla, you know. And they were these unbelievable creatures, basically, of mystery.
Yeah.
And then they came on the tabletop and they were good.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not what they are. They're,
Our last four episodes, we've spent kind of largely laughing at how broken and fun Eldar were because they made them lore specific. Custodes are the opposite, and every Custode player listening to this is probably already throwing their arms up in the air. It's thank you, because it is completely true. The Custodes are useless. Custodes have come out
multiple times and been good, and then people went, they're too good, and they immediately nerfed them. You're like, they're not even close to what they are in the lore.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's nerfed Custodes are maybe 30% potential.
Oh,
you should be able to put three Custodes on the table and an opponent. Yeah.
Custodes joke around about Marines.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't even consider them anything.
So let's jump into that, actually. We'll start there. So let's talk about what it is to make a Custode. So whereas, Space Marines, we cover that whole process and the exceptional amount of broken organs that they put in them for apparently no reason.
Also, yes, the Night Lords deal bothered me so much because they showed people spitting acid.
Once. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like
multiple
once.
Times.
Yeah.
We'll continue.
So Custodes, whereas a Space Marine gets kind of brought in there, like just either pre-adolescence or early adolescence, Custodes are taken as infants into this process. They're almost always of noble birth, and they're handed over to the Emperor willingly. These are not taken. The noble houses couldn't be happier than to give over their infants because of, not in a crappy way, but in a we believe in the Imperium.
This is the biggest honor you could possibly
have.
Because these are the best of the best of the best. And they are also, effectively, they are, Custodes are just, every one of them is nobility. Their position is.
Well, their nobility is, they're second to the Emperor.
Right.
I mean, they are, and some of them can rise up. One of them is a Lord of Terror.
Lord of Terror, that's true.
Which is so this is the ultimate of the ultimate. So the noble houses of Terra happily give over their infants to this process.
And this process is a big deal because it's one of the reasons why Custodes and people can argue, but there's multiple stories where they say this. Custos disdain Marines, one, because of the Black Carapace, which they think is insane.
Well, there's also, and because they're tainted, and we'll get into that a little bit. So these infants, when they're taken over, are actually infused with the Emperor himself. That's what's written in the Codex. There's a lot of variances on this. Some people, at some point it was, they actually have some of the blood of the Emperor put in them. Some are, they actually are, this, the Emperor is able to reach out his psychic essence and push it into them.
It's what, they refer to it as the spark of the
Emperor. Exactly. We don't really know how they do it, but we do know the results. And the results are, as Custodia is rewritten at the genetic level, to the point where, as we just mentioned this a moment ago, these nobles give their kids over. Even if their child was standing in front of them as a full custodian, they could, because the genetic rewrite is so significant, they have no resemblance to anyone. So there's kind of this, which is also a good thing, because nobles are shitty people in 40K. So they would totally be
true
like,
story.
Yeah,
they're horrible.
Yeah, my son's Constantine Valdor. Like, no, it's not. Like, it's like, no, he's not. He told, look, he's got my chin. They all have the same chin. Yeah. But it goes beyond that. So this genetic rewrite affects them in physique, mind, and spirit.
And that's a really big thing.
Yes.
Because of the fact that you have to have a rewrite of all of these things. Because most of the time you look at the stats.
Yeah.
And that's the physique.
Thanks for doing air quotes while talking to a microphone.
I mean, I also want everybody to know every time I do this guy, I do double thumbs to myself. I also put down.
Fun side note to any of you who come to a tournament that we're at, watch how much Brad talks with his hands and I talk with my hands, and then realize that we speak in the microphones.
Yeah. I also put down whatever is in my hands to do the double thumbs
up. Yeah, Brad has put down a Dr. Pepper so that he can talk with his hands while speaking to a microphone.
Which
none of this matters to any of you. Yeah.
But back to my excellent point, which I'm probably going to forget now that I've went somewhere else. One of the bigger part, not the physique, not the physical elements, is the mind and spirit, because these have to be super intelligent, also unbelievably powerful psychic defense.
Exactly. But let's dive into it. So we'll start with the easy bit, which is the physique, because the physique's kind of the easy one to explain.
Yeah, true.
They're huge. They're 10 feet or higher, which is, you know, so 3 meters for the rest of the world. like literally all of you. They're larger than a space marine by a good margin. They're still larger than a Primaris marine. And they're for the most part smaller than a Primarch, but there's a few Primarchs they're bigger than.
They're also faster. Significantly
they're
faster.
So much faster than a space marine. They're pushing into Eldar speed in the way that they can move, but not Eldar strength. They're stronger than Eldar. I mean, these things are monstrous. And so there's a lot of stories. If you read the Horus Heresy novels, and I realize that's not narrowing it down when I say the Horus Heresy novels.
Well, everything with the Custodes, when they meet CSM, which means that they're fighting other Marines.
They just rip the shreds. Quotes, like, it's nothing.
Yeah. They look like Sauron at the beginning of Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
They're just like, oh, okay, that guy was there. All right, let me stab him real quick.
It's like, they're like, hey, let me stab him and cleave the rest of the people in my way. Yeah.
They also are good at killing demons. They're
pretty good,
They're surprisingly resilient to poison.
Screw you. I mean, that's probably because they didn't get the 3 different organs that's supposed to make you
immune. That do nothing. They just gave them a mild genetic change, and they're like, yeah, I'm okay now.
They gave them 4 gallbladders. But
let's talk into kind of the more esoteric ones, which is the intelligence, then we're going to do spirit after this. So Space Marine, we covered Space Marine intelligence. Space Marines are extremely intelligent. The Primarchs even more so. But it's combat intelligence, their ability to take in lots of information, diagnose a battle situation, this type of thing. That's what they're good for. Custodes do that, but they also can run, not just when we say run a government, they can run the Imperium.
Yeah.
Like that's where they're at.
That's what they were groomed for.
Because the Emperor didn't actually want to make Primarchs first. His first goal was to make Custodes. And he was making them to be his advisors. And the Emperor knew he could never make them as intelligent as he is, but he could make them close. And so that was his big focus, was I wanted to be able to take these beings, create them, and I could send them around the galaxy to handle my business without concern of them having to call me and say, hey, how do I do X?
Well, these guys are like, and when we talk about just guys that can handle problems, it's not handle problems like I eliminate people. It's handle problems like what are the ramifications on a society if I make this decision? And also, what are the ramifications when we think society, we're long live? What's going to happen in 300 years?
I will caveat what Brad just said. He's completely right. But they seem to always go with stab them.
I mean, but they're they're not supposed to do just
like every
that.
Every single story that involves custodes, like they're intelligent. They can think through things. They can see both sides. But every time the side they choose involves murder. Anyway.
You're not wrong.
The biggest one, though, I think, is actually the souls. This is one, and this one's really important. The emperor does imbue some of himself, or the custodes imbue some of the emperor.
Spark of the emperor.
Yeah, every single custode. And so this does a few different things to them. One, it creates a sense of loyalty to the emperor. And that's the part I kind of don't love about the story, where it's like, oh, they put some of the emperor in them, and then they're insanely loyal to the emperor.
They kind of can't be.
I know, but it's a little bit creepy.
Yes, but
yeah, it is like to, and this goes beyond like a desire. It's the need. We talked actually, it's good we're doing this after Eldar, because we're talking in the Eldar, we talked about the paths. The idea of failing the emperor is so just horrifying to a custode.
Oh, it's the
that
it's
they just the, cannot
your
do
worst
it.
Fear yeah. of anything.
Yeah. And they're just, they would rather, they're very happy to die up, you know, upholding the emperor's will.
Which I want to go on a quick side note, which is we have one good Lord of Terror who also stopped a plot effectively against the emperor.
Yeah.
And they were surprised when he did it. Why?
Because he'd totally be on our side. Why wouldn't?
God, the Lords of Terror suck. And I want everybody to know this.
They're supposed to be.
Since the beginning of the existence.
You know, I need to be honest with this. I spend all the time with Brad. When he talks about how much he hates Lord of Terra, he says this as if they were real.
Yeah. Like, I have a real...
His hatred of them is not like a, man, I don't like this one bit already. When he makes a face talking about the Lords of Terra, where I'm like, Brad, does Brad know they're not real? I need to have that pro wrestling conversation with Brad pretty soon of like, hey, you know it's fake, right?
About to drop an RKO on those guys.
You know it's... You know it's fake, right?
They are just at fault for every big bad thing that's ever happened.
The other piece that also does help with their soul is custodes are more resistant to chaos than anyone else. They're never psychers, which is a key thing on custodes. None of them have ever manifested psychic power, but they are naturally resistant to them. Not at the blank level, which we'll cover in our next cast.
The Aegis level, though,
yep.
Just like the Grey Knights, basically. Mm-hmm.
They're able to actually resist psychic powers in a way that no other non-pariah gene individual
can. What's a big deal about this? Because the Spark of the Emperor, the infusion of the Emperor's soul, whatever they get, is a big deal because they can actually go deal with chaos incursions, and they don't have corruption, which is huge because almost everybody has something that you bring back with you.
Yeah. Like,
it doesn't have to be, I'm possessed by chaos, but back.
We're going to cover this. I'm going to foreshadow the cast a little bit. Custodes also are aware of everything in the galaxy and always have been. So they would be deployed against demons routinely before anyone in the Imperium even knew demons existed.
When we were still nuking worlds consistently.
Yeah, and they were able to resist that. They could come back, whereas like, you know, we talked about like routinely the Inquisition is more modern, the Inquisition, but even we do believe before this, the Emperor would kill people off who'd fought a demonic incursion or certain psychers so that no one else in the Imperium would know about it. And because also, he was worried about them being corrupted by it. Whereas custodes, he's like, yeah, you guys got this.
Like, for sure, they're not corrupted.
Yeah, we're good. Now, all of this, you know, positives in the custodes, all things they can do, does come with a pretty serious negative,
Let's talk about the creation process, which is, hey, remember when we gave you all these babies? How many became custodes out of the last 1,000 we sent you?
Well, less than one. I mean, it is thousands die in this process. And what's crazy is that I've known this lore for a long time. Doing the research for this, I realized most actually don't die in the beginning. They die in the middle process. So the infusion of the emperor will just kill things. Mm-hmm. But just being infused with the emperor is not enough. You then have to begin a transformation both in training and in like testing. And if at any point in those processes you fail, they will kill you. And this can be, and when I say they will kill you, like I thought it was they shove a bunch of the emperor in you and then you have a heart attack and you die, right? It's not. They put a bunch of the stuff in you and then you just don't develop muscularly at the way they thought that you should.
And then they cut you down.
They kill you. You know, we're going to do Asian tiger mom here. You get a 98 in an exam. Nope. You're dead. Yeah. You're dead. This is like,
I don't know why you failed me so horribly.
This is everything about them. It is all testing and failing. Even beyond, let's say you succeed physically and you're in the training room and you're fighting really well and all these things happen. And we're now in your, 250th year of life and you're fighting a demonic incursion and you don't run away. You just hold for a second at the sight of a bloodthirster.
Dad,
they kill you.
Also, the training process is something I don't agree with because they just go, hey, man, you should figure it out faster. You're like, I started training yesterday. You're like, well, why aren't you better?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about on the guard cast, the commissars, the custodes are like just, I would consider them superhuman commissars is where they're at. Just, I'm the greatest fighter. I will never be afraid of anything. And anyone who is afraid of them, I probably will just kill. So custodes are fun. This has led to a simple challenge the custodes have, which has been, there's not a lot of them. We don't actually know how many there ever were. We know that.
There used to be a set number of custodes, and now there is not.
Well, no, it's been the 10,000 for a long time.
Yeah.
But we don't know if that's a real number. That's what I'm getting at. We have no idea.
Well, they also changed it a bit. This isn't a retcon. This is just how they changed, because they started deploying custodes to places. And before they.
Well, yeah, that's very new. Yeah. So at the dawn of their existence, the expectation was there may have been a few hundred to low thousands. And actually, sorry, dawn of existence, there's probably three. But eventually, when they got deployed kind of around Great Crusade time, probably 1,000, maybe less existed. But they, the nobles keep giving babies over and they keep doing the process. And the good thing about custodes is they're kind of hard to kill. So, the numbers have kind of flourished a little bit.
They also do look awesome. They are intimidating. They're
terrifying. And they they are terrifying. Let's dive into, though, real quick, what it is that the custodes are. What is their actual purpose?
Shield of the Emperor.
Yep. And by Shield of the Emperor is not just protecting the Emperor on the throne, which they'll do, and the palace. They also protect the Imperium from secrets in that this is a piece I like a lot. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. We talked about the First Legion.
You're about to say one of the most... When I read this in the notes, I went, well, you're not wrong, but also that sounds so fucked up. Continue, because this is crazy.
So they also perform secret missions around the galaxy. Oh, yeah. Missions too secret or sensitive for the Dark Angels.
You're like, what? Didn't they genocide people?
Yeah.
Well, specifically to keep things on the rack?
They did some of the most effed up stuff the Emperor ever needed. Another one, real quick note before we dive too far into this. Custodes are not immortal, even in life. There's something that a lot of people get wrong when I talk to people about the custodes. They think that they actually are immortal. They're not. They do get old. And in fact, this is actually kind of a cool story about this. As custodes age, just like anyone else, their vision gets a little bit worse. Their reaction times start to lengthen, just like all of us, right? It just takes them 700 years or 1,000 years to get there. When a custode begins to age out, they actually have something else that they can do. They become almost a spy for the Emperor. So they will one day, and by the way, they're not told to do this. They just do it on their own. One day, they take their armor off. They put down their weapon.
They YOLO into the galaxy
and they walk
wearing
out,
a robe.
Wearing a robe and a hood.
Yeah.
And then they become the eye of the Emperor. And if you think I'm not about to shit on this, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Why? Because it's, bro, look, The other day, I was sitting at a bar and I was talking about things, and I did barely even notice the 10-foot tall guy that weighed 700 pounds standing next to me. I was like, oh, I didn't even notice you were there.
And so the two examples I thought of when I was reading this was one in Thor Ragnarok when Chris Hemsworth puts a scar over his face, the scarf over his face, or for those of us in America who were old enough, there was a really good SNL sketch where The Rock was playing Clark Kent.
He's just so much bigger than everyone else. Just so much bigger,
and he's just billowing out of his shirt. Watch either of those and said, that's what these custodes would have looked like, just wandering around like the bar on Tatooine, taking up the entire section of, like, I am also here, fellow traveler. Yeah. Have you heard any rumors of the Emperor?
Normal human, how is it going? Yeah. I am
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. I am also a local factory worker.
Yes. Yeah. I too farm the fields around the nearby village. You can tell by my weathered skin from being out in the sunlight. Why are you half my size? I am confused by this. They stand out in a second.
Also, I accidentally killed multiple people in this bar because you guys are so tiny.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't. Yeah, he's entering arm wrestling contests and just pulling them up, pulling people apart. Like, oops. Oh, my bad. Yeah, now it's just my brain's going to, like, they keep breaking all the glassware at the bar because every time they pick something up, just shatters.
You're using tiny little teacups.
It's like, you know, he's like trying to drive a car, and it's like the scene from The Incredibles where he's just stuck in it. So this is fun for me. Anyway, on to actual substance.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. Holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, which will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore, 40klore. That's uncommongoods.com/40klore for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Let's talk about, let's start off with, again, the prehistory of the custodes. And this is actually, I think this is really important because we didn't talk about it enough. Custodes date back to around the Dark Age of Technology. We're not really sure when, because the Emperor fought his war of unification on Terra.
But the thing is that he got ready. The Emperor started his preparation for...
Well, he took a sweet time.
The reclamation of Terra.
Like, he took a sweet time.
Yeah. It was thousands of years that he was like setting up what he's going to do. Yeah. They apparently just... contemplating on a mountain what he was doing. Yeah,
figuring it out, taking his time.
Because he let some shit get real bad.
Yeah. And so at one point where this is a John interpretation. So if I'm wrong, hop in Discord and tell me if I'm wrong. But we know that the Emperor went to Moloch. You went through the portal at Moloch and met with the Chaos Gods, at which point he made a deal with them. We know that he got out of the deal the ability to make the Primarchs and manipulate DNA. We don't know what he promised the Chaos Gods other than he did not follow through.
Also, it is, as much as we shit on the Emperor sometimes, that is such a big dick move to just hey, what's up, Chaos Gods? Yeah. Let's have a chat.
Let's have a chat. And also, I want your greatest secrets. Give them to me.
Yeah. He's just like, what? Yeah. Do it. And they're like, I don't know what's happening, but I think I'm just going to do what this guy asks. They're like, what even? You got to wonder if they talked about that later of... I don't know what just went on.
Yeah, why did you? I'm convinced they were all yelling at each other. Why did you tell him?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what did you give them that information?
What just happened? Like some guy, a human showed up.
Yeah. It honestly, what I think is that they all afterwards talked about like Korn public. Oh, I could have killed them. I just chose not to. And, they were all like, oh, I could have done this, but you know, I didn't want to show off in front of you guys. Yeah. But anyway, after that, the Emperor comes back. And my opinion is that his first attempt at the information was to make gods with it, which is what he tried to do, which were the custodes. They are, nothing has ever existed in the Imperium as powerful as a custode as an individual.
No. But the thing is that he...
Although the Eldar fans are going to point out, yes, there's some solitaires that have jacked up some custodes.
Pretty bad. Multiple.
So, all right, fine. There's only two things as powerful in the Imperium as a custode.
It's still Imperium.
Imperium, yeah. I think it said galaxy earlier, but in the Imperium, you're right.
But the thing is with it is the Emperor realized right away that he can't take over the galaxy with this limited number.
Right. Well, because, and that's where he began. And that's later he begins to kind of expand his experiments. So we covered this before, but quick jump back into the Unification Wars. The Emperor has made his custodes, but there's not enough of them. So he makes the Thunder Warriors, which are the precursors of the Space Marines. The Thunder Warriors are, they're actually pretty close to Space Marines in strength and power. They're just morons and
bloodthirsty. Well, he didn't give them the ability to, it's a custodes episode, but Space Marines, again, one of the things they really undersell is how quickly they disseminate information.
Yeah.
They have a screen that is effectively full of a billion things that they have to understand, and they assimilate that immediately.
Yep.
So the Space Marines were able to understand, think, take in, and the Thunder Warriors were able to put the beats down.
Yeah, but take pointy thing, run over there, stab person with pointy thing.
Yeah, that's when they went, hey, this bolter works really well.
But I like this story, and I think we've told it before, but I'm going to tell it again. At the end of the Unification Wars, the Emperor realized that his Thunder Warriors were going to be a problem, and he had to kill them all. And these were the Thunder Warriors had just conquered Terra, running over. And by the way, every other warlord on Terra had genetically modified soldiers. The Thunder Warriors were so powerful that they made those genetically modified soldiers look like children to them. Like, whatever.
Every single battle they talk about is the Emperor's forces destroying.
Yeah, not even close. So the Emperor brings all the Thunder Warriors together and we're talking tens of thousands of them in one area. And he sends in the custodes, which is a couple hundred of them, and maybe a couple thousand Dark Angels. It was First Legion. They killed every single Thunder Warrior. And they weren't unarmed, by the way, because you couldn't unarm a Thunder Warrior. It just was nothing. The custodes just went through them like, whatever, and killed the greatest warriors that Terra had ever seen, the custodes. In a short afternoon.
Yeah.
So from there, we'll jump into the next big part of Imperial history, which is the Great Crusade. So again, the Emperor, he has his Space Marines at this point. We're going to expand out. We're going to reconquer the galaxy. And he doesn't really need the custodes for this.
This is also a weird time for the custodes because of the way that they wrote. Because they kind of just went, custodes exist, here's the Great Crusades, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
There was a dark time. There's some stories, but like for the most part, custodes just exist, and that's enough.
Yeah, they're around the Emperor. Every now and then, he would send them somewhere. So the stories at this time in the Codex are effectively that he used them in this era to kind of handle crap he couldn't get to. So, you know, if he had to be, you know, he's with his Space Marines conquering the galaxy, but there's a meeting back on Terra, he sends the custodes. You know, there's a somewhat friendly, you know, system he has to go deal with. He sends a custode. The only place that we saw a lot of the custodes was they were always next to the Emperor as he moved places, just as a little like bulwark against problems.
There is a couple stories because one of the last things that they did is if the Emperor wanted to drop the hammer and not tell anybody about it,
yeah,
he would send the custodes and the custodes would just go, bummer for you.
Yeah, all of you are dead now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, again, what I would say is this is completely John, but whatever, I'm still right. We have two Primarchs who are redacted, which means there were two legions that had to be removed from his forces.
That's probably a custodes thing.
That would be custodes. That's 100% custodes. Hey, there's 10, What? How big was a legion? Was it 10,000 or 100,000?
No, the legions could be whatever. The chapters are now.
The chapter episode. So it would have been, so probably 50 to 100,000 space marines had to get removed.
Yeah. And who can do that? Well, yeah. And kill a Primarch, by the way.
Constantine Valdor. Does that feel like something he might be part of?
Yeah, he was. Valdor was did not Valdor would have shy volunteered. Away.
Yeah. Yeah.
From having to do some bad shit.
So
wow, that is a big thing. Yeah. You know what? Screw this. I'm going side note on that.
Yeah.
The Emperor was distant British dad. Valdor was the guy that just did the dirty work.
Valdor's horrifying.
Like, man, that guy was like, and the Emperor goes, these are the 10 things we can do. And Valdor's like, yeah, there's an 11th. I'm already on my
way. There's an 11th and I'm already doing it.
Yeah. I'm, by the way, I'm calling you from there.
Yeah.
Just letting you know that also, yeah. Not even I'm calling you from there. I'm calling you after I did the thing.
And it's never called out explicitly, but it's pretty well implied that, you know, as humanity, because don't forget, the Emperor knew what was out in the galaxy. He was directing where his forces would go. It's quite likely, and more likely, it's correct, that he knew worlds that had demonic incursions. He would send the custodes there because they could go clean with it. He would also send the custodes to worlds where he wanted, if there was an artifact he wanted recovered, he would send the custodes. And we know this because there is a mini Black Library under the Imperial Palace that's guarded by the custodes, and they put all this shit in there. Because this is, remember, the custodes predate Grey Knights and Inquisition. So someone had to do this crap, and it was Constantine Valdor and his buddies.
Also, the detachments don't give them justice, but continue.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I have issues with custodes, is the shield hosts are a cool rule in the game. However, there's a goddamn big difference between things like the keepers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they have specific jobs, and they are... God, they're phenomenal at what
the truth is. Like, all right, let's just call it out. From a tabletop standpoint, it would be very rare to have only one of the shield hosts arrive. It would be multiple shield hosts because they'd be taking on multiple things. More of a
kin. Depends back on to, what you're trying to do.
Back yeah. to, was it 8th edition where we could, where, yeah, it was 8th edition where we could have multiple right. In an army. We need to go back to 8th edition to make custodes function correctly, which, spoiler alert, they were terrible during. Like, oh.
They did 9th, though.
Yeah, 8th edition, they were just bad. So let's jump into the more fun part of the history, which is the Horus Heresy.
The first line is just my favorite here.
What?
No bias whatsoever.
All right, I'll read it out. So after the victory on Ulanor with the, in quotes here, temporary defeat of the orcs. I'm sorry, what's Ulanor also called today? Armageddon? Yeah. Feels very temporary. I'm gonna throw it out there. Like, look, seems like you didn't get rid of all the orcs or the orc presence there. Anyway, the Emperor returned back to Terra, and in doing so, he left all of the Space Marines under the very, you know, positive tutelage of Horus.
It was positive at the time.
Yeah, it was a totally. This went great. Anyway, the custodes left with him, and they all went back with the Emperor. A few stayed around with, you know, with Horus and them, just as for a lot, just read the Horus Heresy, you'll see there's lots of reasons for this. But the custodes, for the most part, retreat back to the palace, with the exception of, because there's some stuff that comes up. Once the heresy explodes, the custodes get pretty heavily used. One of the biggest ones is a demonic incursion in the basement of the palace because a certain one-eyed jackass.
We had to tell him about it.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, it's actually called the War on the Webway. It's the secret campaign of the Horus Heresy because the custodes were stuck in this, like, pseudo-webway, pseudo-portal to the Immaterium.
I mean, Vulcan did show up and tell him this wasn't going to work, but continue.
Yeah, it only ends with the Emperor actually warping into there at one point to help them close in. So the custodes are busy. They also got stuck.
Let's... pause that because it sounds not even as you're making it sound not as catastrophic as it was. The Emperor was effectively trying to create his own webway, and demons were like, we're wrecking this.
Yeah.
Like, and there is an every 24/7, the demons are at the door pounding on.
Not a nurgling, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a full incursion, and the Emperor's being the Emperor, like, yeah, this is probably no problem because I'm the Emperor. Whoa, I'm the best. And then Magnus went, I need to tell Dad what's going on. and punched a hole through that.
Yeah. And all of the demons spilled into the Imperial Palace. They fight them back. And so for 5 years, the Custodes spend fighting a war in the, it's called the War in the Webway, but I'm going to be honest and call the Emperor out here. It wasn't a webway. He built a portal to hell.
It's a war in the basement.
Yeah, it's a basement. It's a basement. It's a portal to hell.
Yeah, I always hate when I open a portal to hell in the basement of my house.
Yeah. And so they spent time fighting there. The Custodes also were stuck, we'll talk about this a lot, on Mars, because the problem was that thanks to a certain fabricator general, Mars was in full rebellion. So he had to send the Custodes over there to make sure they got some level of weapons. Then you have the nobility and lords of Terra who need to be reminded every so often of like which side you're going to be on. Because they would also be like, well, what if the Emperor loses?
The Lords of Terra were legitimately wearing hats with two bills that had Emperor and Horus on them.
And they were just flipping around until the Custodes would walk in and just take the hat off their head, maybe with their head.
And with their head, for sure.
More often with the head, yeah. And they were having to travel around dealing with demon incursions because the Emperor doesn't think he's going to lose this battle. It's those who don't even know about demons. The Custodes went from this kind of like laissez-faire, let's guard the embassy, hang out thing to you're going to be deployed in every single place in all the worst spots around the galaxy.
It's not even just deployed. They were only deployed in shit that was shit.
Yeah.
The shittiest of the shittiestness.
Oh, it's horrifying. So we'll skip to the end then of the Horus Heresy because it's been covered a lot. The Custodes are obviously there helping defend the Imperial Palace. Not Terra, by the way, the Imperial Palace, because Terra got wrecked.
Well, this is a big thing because the Custodes think of this as a failure, but
it is, though. No, but it actually is.
Emperor just literally went.
They went with him.
Swaggins.
They went with him, and they got teleported to the wrong part of the ship. But whatever, the Emperor does, and we'll cover more on that when we cover Valdor in a bit. So the Emperor gets felled by Horus, and he's only saved by being entombed. And this is it. This is the first time the Custodes have failed in their number one charge, which is to protect the Emperor.
This is a big deal because of the fact that the Custodes were on the brink of just not existing at this point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So in the post-heresy era, the Emperor is pseudo-slain. He's entombed in the Custodes disappear. I mean, they exist. They disappear. This is that they move completely into the Imperial Palace and do not leave it.
They also shut it down.
Yeah. Oh, they lock the doors.
Yeah, like, they're just, we exist here. The guys that were around the galaxy solving problems, also remember, diplomatically solving problems with their amazing skill. That's the thing. The Custodes might be actually better at some. I know they talk about it, you joke about it, but like the Custodes were actually wildly skilled negotiators.
Well, this is, in my opinion, what causes the quote unquote downfall of the Imperium. It's because the most intelligent members of the entire Imperium, one of them's entombed in the Golden Throne, and the rest of them are within 100 meters of said Golden Throne.
Yeah.
They won't go anywhere. They won't govern.
They're also the people that are supposed to be the guys that take care of all of these problems.
Yeah. And so what the Custodes end up doing is they just become obsessed with the shame, and it's a weird thing to do where they kind of just focus on the teachings.
Well, they were close to the end. The Custodes were just gonna not be Custodes anymore.
Yeah.
They were just like, we had one mission. I mean, they had 100 missions, but the thing they considered their core mission to them, they failed.
The one area that actually I couldn't figure out here, and I read it enough times and then gave up, so I'm just leaving it here as a question. I don't know if the Custodes were speak to the Emperor.
I think that this is probably unpopular opinion. I think the Custodes have always been in connection with the Emperor, but the Emperor, screw it. I'm going to take the Brad version of this because they read multiple things. The Emperor, because he was fighting Horus in soul, spirit, physical, everything, the Emperor didn't get felled. The Emperor got shattered into multiple bits. They connect with the Emperor and they speak to the Emperor, but speaking to the Emperor is like speaking to 1,000 personalities at the exact same time when they talk to him.
Okay. Well, I like that take because that's the thing. We know of only 2 times that people have spoken to the Emperor, and it was the start of the Sisters, and then later it'll be Gilliman.
I was going to say, the beginning of the Sisters, she has a conversation, and then bad things happen to
does
somebody.
She though? Because the question I have is like, you know, is this a Wizard of Oz situation? Where is it, you know, like
true, did she speak to the custodes?
Yeah, she speak to and there's some guy with a microphone behind the Golden Throne saying, that guy's a dick, go kill him. And she's like, all right, I'm on this. Like, who knows?
Also, they weren't, whether it was the Emperor or not, accurate they weren't
statement.
Wrong.
Yeah, accurate statement. So we really don't know what's going on. Are the custodes in communication with the Emperor? Are they just guarding the Emperor? Because the thing about the custodes is they can keep a secret better than anybody. I mean, there is nothing.
They make the Dark Angels seem like they don't have secrets.
Yeah. I mean, and to the point where I referenced earlier, but I do want to talk about this. There is a mini black library under the Imperial Palace. The custodes are in charge of that has everything the Imperium has ever done going back through.
And they tell no one about it.
Yeah. This, by the way, these are records that go not just into the Dark Age of Technology, before the Dark Age of Technology.
Well, by the way, to be a little bit of a dick about it. The custodes have the answer to so many problems.
Everything.
And they just don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Because, the Emperor told them to keep a secret.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, that we could solve that tomorrow.
Yeah. We know where every single world the Imperium has ever founded was. We know everything. Great. Let's use that. The Emperor said we couldn't.
Yeah. And we have all the old technology too, but we're not going
to use it. Yeah. The Emperor said we're not allowed to talk about this, but it could save humanity. Yeah.
Well, so we have,
but he said we couldn't use
they
it.
They also have a banana amount. I'm going to give my term. I'm going to give the banana pants amount of the Emperor has a shit ton of Xenos technology.
Yeah.
Like just chilling out, which is also, he's such a hypocrite. He's like, we have to kill all the Xenos, but also I have the world's largest repository of alien technology.
Well, yeah. I mean, I made a short list here of like, we know. They know who and what happened to the missing Primarchs. They know how to make a Primarch. They know what the Emperor said to the gods of Molech. They know how to make a Man of Iron. They know what is actually powering Mars. Spoiler alert, not a good thing. I mean, this is, they know everything. And nah. So then we're going to dive into what the custodes actually do, which is they put on black cloaks and wander around in a goth phase, which I was really hoping that Brad had a goth phase because my dream, I would give a lot of money to get a photo of 1987 Brad dressed. Yeah,
it's not.
As a goth, I know you are. Yeah.
I did show you the picture, which I'm going to share it with the cast, which is Mullet Brad, which a friend of mine found and went, it made a meme of it. And it's just me walking in my high school graduation, still in the 80s, by the way.
Yeah.
And it goes,
so it had been 1988, 89? 89. I'm
89. And goes, the quote was, I wasn't always a douche. Ha ha, just kidding. I was like, I don't even, why are you guys my friends?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm not surprised you had a mullet.
It was glorious.
I'm 100% you had a lot. You
glorious.
Wanted, yeah. I mean, the problem is there's not a lot of business in the front going on for you.
There wasn't the time.
I know. No, it was all party. That's what I'm saying. Party in the back. There's party in the front, Brad. You should have had long hair.
I did after.
Yeah. So the custodes more seriously do sequester themselves away from the Imperium and just don't interact with it. Yeah. The Imperium just begins to completely fall apart around
them. The Imperium implodes. I actually think the first few thousand years, and I know that's a huge amount of time.
Yeah.
But things were kept together for a while until we had the fall of a couple of the Primarchs, specifically Bobby G, who gets felled. But once we get—
At some point, we should cover that in the podcast. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm just saying, once you lose a couple of the people that were the administorum part
of the— But the good administorum.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the bad. Not the—
Yeah.
The 400 miles of paperwork that doesn't get done. But once you started to lose those, it went a nosedive. Like shit kept together. It was bad. And then it went to shit.
Yeah.
Fast.
And this is all happening. The point where we talked about it last time, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but when the one guy killed all the Lords of Terror and put himself in charge, and like one custode popped his head out and went, oh, that's not good. All right, hold on. And they just, and they went and fixed it real quick. And they went back and they were, they fixed it.
They literally murdered everyone.
Yeah, we're like, all right, we got this. Hold on.
By the way, they didn't even set up new Lords of Terror. They just went back home.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Like, you're fucking up.
Yeah, you guys are idiots, but we took care of that problem. Your turn. And just wandered off.
Yeah.
But at this time, the custodes, though, they were not like letting themselves fall apart. They were actually still taking in noble children and making custodes.
Their numbers are growing.
Yeah, their numbers are growing. Because they also have no, I mean, of course, they're not losing anybody. That's the thing. There's no wars. They're just living. And then they're also, importantly, to kind of like the later portion we get to, they're working on their weaponry, their armor. They're actually improving themselves. And so this leads to kind of when it comes time to kind of come out of this, they're very much so ready to go. But one thing that they did do, the one part of the Dead Wood Leave is one of my favorite parts of the Custodes, which is the Blood Games.
Yeah.
Which are...
They're super weird, though.
Yeah, but this is such... Okay.
I'm sorry. You like this way more than
because I shit on GW writing on like 90% of these casts. And every now and then they get one really right.
This thing's like so weird, though.
No, but it's so clever, though. The idea, the problem the Custodes...
I agree with you on that, but it is still so weird.
So one of the biggest problems the Custodes have is they can never fail at their task. Their task is to keep the Emperor alive. If they fail, the Emperor dies. And there aren't a lot of threats in the galaxy that can actually hold up to them.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Luckily, this is actually, again, pre-Horus Heresy, they get a glimpse into what they should be doing thanks to not everyone's favorite Primarch, but I've noticed a lot of people who read a lot of lore's favorite Primarch, Alpharius.
Yeah, because he's also doing some ninja shit. Yeah,
Alpharius is pretty badass. So Alpharius, and I don't know the full reason why he did this. I think there was no reason. One day decides to infiltrate the Imperial Palace.
Yep.
I think he was just bored.
He also completely dresses up in a different deal too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But so Alpharius, it's a little bit tricky if he can shapeshift or not. He may be able to. Or may have been able to, because I don't even know if he's alive or dead. No one does. But Alpharius is sneaking through the Imperial Palace, bumps into a guard whose name is Garudo, or as I read the first time, Gardo, which I really wish GW had named him Gardo.
He's doing this as a random exercise, and he just murders.
But I just want to point out, GW missed by, he could move two letters around. And I could have had Gardo the guard. And damn you, GW. I read that quickly and got super excited and then went,
you know, aw. For all time now, John, he is.
He should be Gardo the guard. He should be Gardo, who was on guard duty. Anyway, Alpharius just murders him and then shoves his body in a locker and puts on his armor.
Just Agent 47.
So. Yeah, which, again, this is why I think Alpharius may have been able to shapeshift, because custode armor is custom fit to each custode.
And it's not just custom fit, it's custom, like, perfect in every way.
Because somehow, and this is something Brad and I both have lived pretty heavily, being focused on weight. I mean, I do a weight class, but Brad also just was obsessed with how he used to look.
I love that you looked over with Brad used to.
Yeah, I had a past tense for that.
He does an eye contact with me, by the way.
I love Brad to death, and he's in the middle of some things. But anyway, apparently custodes, once they reach maturity, just don't change shape or size at all. They never gain 1 inch anywhere.
Screw you on that.
But anyway, yeah, they can suck it for that ability. But Alpharius puts on this custode's armor and just starts wandering through the Imperial Palace until Constantine Valdor, who we're going to get to later, who is the captain general of the custodes, looks at him, speaks to him, and recognizes that the voice he's using doesn't match the voice of Gardo. I'm doing Gardo from now on. And his entire response is, hey, give me that spear back and don't kill anyone else. He doesn't get mad at the Primarch. He's just like, hey, don't do this again.
Which is basically how the custodes operate, period, though.
Yeah.
Hey, well, this guy should have found it, should have won.
Yeah.
Maybe you killed him, but like, well, you should have killed.
I had to go pull the actual story here. This wasn't even a firm talking to. This was a solid, like, can you leave now, please?
Yeah.
And Alpharius went, all right. But after Alpharius leaves, Valdor has this moment of like, there's a hole in our system.
And also, should we do testing? Well, yes. What kind of testing? Let's make it super crazy.
Yeah. What we need to do in order to keep ourselves the top of our game is we need to employ custodes to come and try and kill the emperor.
Like, actually, and they're full-blown supposed to murder everyone in play.
They do pull out at the very last second. We know this because of another captain general who successfully succeeded in two blood games, and the emperor is not dead, so I have to go with, all right,
they don't team. Just stab the emperor in the face
on the golden throne. But this is like...
Which would, by the way, fix a lot of things, but continue.
Yeah, and these stories, by the way, are nuts. And the 10th edition has a story about it right now. 10th edition is great. They'll hire assassins, like Officio Assassinorum, to launch attacks on Imperial Palace. They get like pirates to attack. They'll try to sneak in themselves and they'll slit the throats of a bunch of custodes.
Let's talk about the screw it. We couldn't get an assassin in. How about if we teleport a nuke?
Yeah, this is in. So in the 10th edition codex, I'm not even going to address what comes up in that. If you have an issue with it, you're an asshole. But anyway, the custode, her plan is, because it's a her, deal with it, is to teleport a tactical nuke into the Imperial Palace.
Right there.
And gets caught right before she does. It's super bad. That's how hard they're going for this. Oh, there's another story where they actually captured a bunch of heretic Astartes and released them inside of the Imperial Palace.
Let's back up on the tactical nuke. She was going to let the nuke go off.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know.
I feel 100%. Yeah. Figure it out.
It's actually really cool. If you don't have access to the book, just go read it. It's two pages in the 10th edition codex. Just go to your game store and read it. It's a cool story where she talks about being able to sense the teleportarium, as the custodes teleported onto the bridge and they're like, oh, hey, we caught you. And then what they do with the crew is freaking messed up. this is some good writing. Good job, GW. But this is done to keep the custodes on massive high alert at all times, because they're not just trying to keep Captain Dum Dum from, just a regular human from derping into the palace and killing the emperor. They're ready for anything.
Well, what are the biggest things about protecting the emperor now? I have to point this out.
Yeah.
Because it used to be just the guy on the throne, he's powering the Astronomicon, he's defending the Imperium versus Chaos Incursions. This is went to the 10, the, you know.
Yeah. This is because, and they know, just like Abaddon knows, the Imperium revolves around the Emperor.
Well, it's also the Emperor has become significantly more than he was before. And he's also the figurehead. He is the God Emperor.
And I would argue he's also weaker than before in the sense of he's more mortal than before. Not weaker. He's more mortal than before. So if you could get, because before, we think pre-Horus killing him, you break into the Imperial throne room, you're now facing the Emperor. Not a great situation.
But the Emperor is sitting on the throne doing, again, why he's fractured. I mean, he got fractured in the thing, but he's doing so much.
Yeah.
He's legitimately fighting.
And it's possible you could just unplug him and he would die. That's where we're at.
But he's also on the cusp of becoming a god.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of entities that are I'd really like that not to happen, So people are actively, we used to send a guy every couple of years. Now we're how about every day, every second?
Yeah, we're gonna find a way to get to this guy kill him.
We have almost unlimited resources. Oh yeah, chaos, they do.
Yep.
And then we have cultists, we have everything else. And the thing is that they try-
And High Lords of Terra.
Which sucks so much.
So much fun to watch Brad get upset about this.
But
do you think they could poison him?
I would stop playing 40K if they poison the emperor.
But he doesn't have the organs. However could he prevent it?
If the emperor got poisoned, I'd punch so many babies. Custode babies, of course.
But anyway, the custodes spend this 10,000 years just sitting inside the Imperium, and then they stop. And this happens because of kind of two things happening in tandem. And we'll jump into them now. So the first one is, they're actually all revolve on Gilliman's return.
Bobby G shows up and effectively stomps into the Golden Throne.
Well, it's more than that. So Bobby G gets resurrected by the Eldar God of Death, then goes on a chaos ass-kicking quest.
Oh, he goes buck wild.
Yeah, he's so angry when he wakes up.
He's so pissed also yeah. that there's a religion and
yeah.
all this.
Oh, stuff. Yeah, but he basically, well, because that's why it's funny. The stories are great because he wakes up and just goes on a chaos ass-kicking quest, then discovers that all the people on his side are worshiping a god, which he then discovers is his dad, which his dad was super against. So then he's like, well, screw this. I'm going to Terra. But the whole way to Terra, chaos keeps getting in the way, to which he keeps just ass-kicking those all the chaos. And
wrecking them, by the way.
It's, these three,
so many first-round knockouts.
If you don't like Bobby G, I'm sorry. Read the books. You will like him. He is a champion of champions. Anyway, he eventually gets to Luna, where shit goes south pretty quick, and he gets his ass saved, basically, by the Custodes. And afterwards, his great thank you to the Custodes is, cool, I'm going to go talk to the Emperor now.
Yeah. Also, not even just, I'm going to talk to the Emperor. Yeah. I'm going to talk to the Emperor. I'm going to be back in a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I'm not super happy with anything you guys are doing. Yeah.
You guys also suck, by the way. Like, we're doing...
I'll be back tomorrow with a full... Somebody's going to put their cover letters on the TPS reports.
Yeah. We are. I am not happy. Anyway, he comes out of meeting with the Emperor, declares himself Lord Commander of the Imperium. No one says shit about that, by the way.
Who is going to say
shit? Good point. I just like the fact that he does that. He goes, I am now the Lord Commander of the Imperium. And everyone went...
Also, the thing is that you have to ask what sort of communication he had, because Bobby G sat for a while.
Yeah, this is actually, it's much longer than What's Her Nuts going in there.
Yes, and, like he had a long psychic communication, whatever he did.
Doesn't say a word about the ecclesiarchy.
Nope.
Not a single word. Side note there, not a single word. But
Bobby G is, there's pragmatists and then there's Bobby G pragmatism. And he just went, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah. And so the big thing for the Custodes that Bobby G does is he comes out and tells the Custodes, you're no longer on guard duty. Ditch the stupid black cloaks. Well, that's over. And you are on offense.
He kind of shames them.
Yeah.
Bobby G comes out and goes, I don't know what you've been doing for 10,000 years. But it's not. Yeah.
It seemed to be a lot of you, and you're not really doing anything with that. So how about you get in a ship and go kick some ass?
Yeah, we're doing some shit.
Which, on the positive side, the Custodes are like, fair enough. Let's go do this. And thereby break Brad's soul, because this also coincides with 2017, where they then were given models and then proceeded to lose to Imperial Guard in combat.
Badly.
Badly. Routinely. Like,
so stupid.
They get surprised by Gene Stealer Cult.
In the lore, they lose zero times.
Yes, they never lose. Yeah, Gene Stealer Cult surprising them. Drukhari are too quick for them. I mean, we can keep playing through all of them. Yeah, I think Knights still sucked back then, so maybe they beat Knights.
In one of your notes, I have to go with Bobby G did shame them, call them out, but he did ask.
True. Yeah, he couldn't, even as Lord Commander of the Imperium, he still doesn't have authority.
Again, someone that always dots his I's and crosses his T's, Bobby G knew that he did not have authority of the Custodes. Yep. So while he does talk shit to them and calls them out for their bravery and everything else, he has to, in the end, still ask of them.
Can you guys please come with me on my quest?
Yeah, he talks a mountain of shit beforehand.
Yeah.
But then he has to ask.
Yeah, it's like, and after all of that, you guys want to...
Could you pretty please come with me?
Could you please get in the car? Because we have to go somewhere.
Yeah. Like, also, I know that I just talked a mountain of crap to you, but also, please?
Please? Yeah. So from there, I want to spend a little bit of time on the Captain Generals of the Custodian Guard. It was hard from an episode structure point to where to put these guys in, because anything we talk about in around kind of like 40K lore always kind of, it just always intertwines brutally.
The problem is that they...
But I didn't want to cover Constantine Valdor and then cover...
Trajan.
Like, later, I just want to do them back to back. So that's why we're doing this. So
the problem is everybody in the middle doesn't do anything.
Oh, yeah. So we'll talk about that. So we'll start with, like, the Captain General is the highest ranking custode. And I have to give GW credit. This is a real military rank. Captain General exists in most militaries in the world. It is the highest ranking military officer in most militaries. So they just copied it. And this person has three roles. He's the absolute commander of the Custodes. So all the custodes listen to him, and he reports to the emperor.
And I want to make this a side note again. The custodes are a completely independent fighting force.
Yep. No one has that. They report. They report. All custodes report up to the captain general. The captain general reports to the emperor. Full stop.
That's it.
Yeah. Full stop.
No one can say shit about shit. So the captain general is a powerful role.
Yeah. My favorite one he has is the second role, which is he has the authority of who's allowed access to the Imperial Palace and the Golden Throne. And he's currently sitting at a 99.999999, continue that for infinity, no rate. We are aware of two people who he said yes to ever.
And one of those basically snuck in.
Yeah. And then the third one he has, and there's some moves around a little bit, is a High Lord of Terra. There were times where they were. There's a couple of guys who were not, actually, for little bits of time. But, yeah, this I also like a lot because there are 12 High Lords of Terra. I think one's a Fabricator General of Mars.
Always.
The other one is a custode.
Ecclesiarchy. Is
it? Well, yeah, but one thing, the other 10 are humans. There's a borderline god in the room.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a weird, if you get into a heated argument, you're like, I hope the god doesn't kill us.
He's three times the size of all the rest of them. Could probably just murder them all if he felt like it.
He can also kill them so fast that they wouldn't know they're being killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you had a button that you had to push.
Yeah, like to stop him.
You might not be able to hit the button.
So I just enjoy this idea of, like, again, going back to the Chris Hemsworth and Thor Ragnarok. Like this is more the Hulk and Thor Ragnarok sitting there being like, I'm also on the council. And everyone's like, well, what are your qualifications? I'm sorry, little bitch says what?
You guys, you're right. Someone should escort me out. I'll wait for it.
Yeah, exactly. You guys want to tell you what? I'll go stand in the doorway. Let's see if all 11 of you can push me out of it.
Seems legit. I'm actually super excited to talk about Trajan, but we're going to talk about Valdor first.
Let's start with Valdor. So
Valdor's actually
possibly, Valdor has a lot more lore.
Valdor might be top three coolest dudes in the Imperium. Mm-hmm.
He's also the most evil and the most noble of the Imperium.
Yeah, he's like Dick Cheney in power.
He is horrifying. So Valdor, interesting story. They believe he is the first custode ever made. He's definitely the first to ever appear in an Imperial record. But the rumor is he was the first successful custode made by the Emperor. He was there for all the Unification Wars, and he did of the bad shit. I mean, this is before the Lords of Terra, they called it the Triumvirate of the Emperor. It was him, the Emperor, and Malkador were the ones who were in charge. So every secret of the Imperium went through him. And when Malkador and the Emperor needed something done, they would send him.
Malkador did messed up shit. Valdor did, like
one of my favorite things about Valdor, though, was Valdor knew everything. So when the Primarchs got whisked away by chaos all around, Valdor wanted to go kill them all. His viewpoint was that there's no way the Chaos Gods would have grabbed these Primarchs and not corrupted them. Let me and my custodes go and find them all and murder
them. We're just going to stab every one of them in the face.
Yeah, we're going to go kill every Primarch.
Dude, Valdor is so...
Yeah.
Like I said,
Malkador
is the guy, doing the puppet strings, mm-hmm. and making everything happen. Valdor is the guy that's standing over. He's like, oh, I didn't hire anybody to kill the guy. I just killed him.
Yeah, like this, yeah. But I just love that. Valdor's plan was to kill every Primarch, which if you know that story, now think of all the times you read Horus Heresy novels. Like, wow, Valdor was kind of a dick to the Primarchs. Yeah, because he was convinced they were all chaos corrupted they were chaos corrupted.
He was half right.
Yeah, 50% of the time right. Maybe more.
It's like Sex Panther, 50% exactly, of the time works every time.
But yeah, he did all the horrible stuff. So he killed all the Thunder Warriors. He was known as a merchant of death for the noble houses. So if one of the nobles did something bad, that noble and all of their family would be found dead.
You said like he killed. He killed, yes.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, man, I'm out here washing the tires. You're like, sorry, bro, shouldn't have worked for this house.
Two of my favorite stories on him, though, because this we talked about earlier with his viewpoint of we should just kill all the Primarchs. He was with Leman Russ when Leman sacked Prospero. He was completely aware that the Emperor said, bring Magnus back here, and was like,
I mean, Veldur.
Veldur was just like, so you're going to go kill one of the Primarchs? You know what? I see this as a net positive. Not only do I support this, I'm going to help.
I couldn't tell you what he actually said, but...
Yeah, I was there with you when he said it. I have a perfect memory and can completely correct all the things you're about to do. Horus is wrong, but I think I'm about to go kill one of these stupid demon Primarchs, so I'm super into this right
now. Pretty okay with that.
Yeah. He also created the Officio Assassinorum.
This is his biggest dick move.
Yeah, he created it.
I gotta get my chi together, and I'm doing the chi mojo right.
If you can Brad see, also does a thing. Come see us in person at an event.
Come see me at something that happened.
Come see me, and a lot of people consume our cast like months after we publish them. So that's why I stopped telling, hey, come see us at an event. People are like, oh, I'd love that. When is that? It was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he knew what he was making when he made the
Assassinorum.
Yeah. Assassinorum. And the thing is that we're going to get into it in another cast. Assassins are so much more horrifying that you understand.
Yeah.
It is nightmare scape. Holy shit, what's going on? And he was like, yeah, I know. Yeah,
the Vindicare is the best assassin to be. Just be accurate. That was all.
I was just saying, the rest of Mar, again.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
We're going to have some fun with that one. So, but Valdor does eventually come to an end. And Valdor is actually does teleport. So kind of the end of Valdor is this. Valdor teleports onto the Vengeful Spirit with the Emperor with a bunch of custodes, but gets separated. And he wakes up just, you know, with the other custodes, realizing he's nowhere near the Emperor, and just goes on an ass-kicking mission through it.
This is tactically the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but it's so badass.
Like, he wakes up realizing the Emperor's way too far away from him. He's probably about to fail the Emperor.
Doesn't try to come up with a plan, just assumes that he's too far away, and just goes into a...
And decides, well, raid. Fine, I'm going to kill everybody. And him and the custodes just start ass-kicking their way through the ship. And we're talking potentially tens of thousands of demons and chaos marines just get slaughtered by an exceptionally angry custode.
He's wrecking everyone. Bad plan, but awesome. Yeah.
And you guys should read the book because there's a great scene where he comes face-to-face with Abaddon.
This is one of the best dialogues in a GW book, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not going to foreshadow it. It's just, but just go ahead and read it. I was going to write a bunch of stuff about it, but read it. It's one of the best parts of the entire book, actually, is his interaction with Abaddon. Anyway, Emperor gets stabbed. He feels terrible about it. And one day, he just walks out of the Imperial Palace, puts his armor down, everything down, and just says, only in death. And if you want to read more about him, read the Pariah novels, because
pretty good also.
Yeah, he's not dead. He's out there doing work for the Emperor, and it's some really good stuff. And I don't know if I covered it here.
For the Emperor.
Yeah.
Valdor's a dick, by the way.
Oh, Valdor's a horrifying dick, but I just get a kick. But he's also mildly influential.
Yes, but I got to pause this when I say dick. He's crazy loyal. But also, he's the guy in the mob movies where they have the guy that's always doing terrible shit, and the main guy's like, dude, please stop, you know, murdering everyone. And he's like, but I thought that would be the best thing for you.
Yeah, this just makes sense to me.
That's what Valdor
consistently
does.
Yeah. But yes, let's fast forward now 10,000 years. Because there's a bunch.
Because why not?
Well, it's because all the captains have a little bit of a moment. Like, one guy fought in the War of the Beast. One guy did. But who gives a shit?
They don't do enough shit.
Yeah, it's like they get a paragraph.
If you're going to be emo for 10,000 years,
you don't do a lot.
Yeah, you don't get props.
So we now get up to modern 40K, where we have Trajan Valoris, who's the captain general of the custodes currently. And Trajan is considered maybe he is the greatest warrior in the Imperium. Although Bobby G's back, so it's a little bit dicey on how this one goes.
Trajan's so badass, though, dude.
So he has He holds the record. He's complete for successfully completing two different blood games. So he's outsmarted and outfought innumerable custodes. He single-handed a gene killer cult invasion. Yep. He broke up, I think, one or two WOGs. And that's it too, sorry. And that's just the stuff that's public knowledge. Like, yeah. This is, like, Trajan has been waging wars for the Imperium forever. Recently, though.
Dude, this is such a, one, read the stories.
Yep.
This is
very good writing.
We're wildly not going to do this justice.
Yeah.
But, man,
we want GW to give us money. I got to sell books. Yeah. There we go. Let's sell some GW books by just giving, like,
GW books.
By doing cliff notes. They have not called.
Not once.
I could see why they haven't. I've heard my words.
Also, again, I think it's hilarious that the guys that are psychically bonded the Emperor, the Lords of Terror, were like, "You're definitely gonna betray him."
Yeah,
and give us power. Yeah. And then Trajan's like, "Oh no, I'm gonna kill all of you.
you're all just useless to me."
Yeah, and then waited until the last moment, and then went.
Yeah.
How did you not see this coming? It's really good.
So let's dive into Trajan just real quick. So Trajan may or may not have been in possession of an artifact to let him see the future and the return of Gilliman. So Trajan takes control right at the start of Abaddon's 13th Black Crusade. And his main task, aside from all the ass kicking he's doing, is he starts really ramping up the custodes.
Well, he starts mobilizing them.
Yeah.
He starts getting them ready to be...
to be deployed for no reason. Yeah, he just says this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he starts getting them ready to be an attacking force as opposed to mm-hmm. a defensive force.
Yep.
And he explains how we're going to do this. He also separates the custodes.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes the shield. He makes the shield hosts. Yep. And so eventually, as we just discussed, Gilliman comes back, gives them all a pretty firm talking to, followed by a polite request.
Which is so good, by the way.
It's just great, by the way. And, you know, to be fair, Trajan's all in. So they begin the full mobilization. Trajan also takes a much more active role in the Lords of Terror than ever before, because he decides that, fine, if the custodes are going to be this aggressive fighting force, then we're going to know what's going on in the Imperium, and we're going to be in charge, and we're going to actually take real charge of this.
He does some cool shit. Well, let's go into... we're going to talk about a lot of shit, but one of the coolest bureaucracy things that he does, which sound super lame compared to the rest of the shit we're going to talk about, but he does start slicing through red tape like Voltron.
Oh, well, yeah, because he realizes there's an issue. I mean, like, we've got forces of chaos over us. So what's he do? He takes Grey Knights and partners them with custodes to go fight significant demonic incursions. We've got rebellions all over the place. Cool. Custodes and the Inquisition. You guys are going to work together. We've got traitor legions waging battles. Custodes and space marines. We're going to go there. This is what he does. But his biggest one, and we covered this on the Tyranid cast a little bit, but we're going to spend a little bit more time on it here. Trajan detects that High Fleet Leviathan, when it comes back in to the galaxy, we're talking about, when it launches up in the galaxy, one of the tendrils is pretty damn close to the soul.
And it's for sure coming.
And it's coming to soul. And he grabs custodes, guardsmen, Death Watch, sisters.
Specifically Death Watch on this. Because he takes all of the Death Watch that, again, are focused on killing Xenos, specifically Tyranids.
Also, don't forget, but also he has the Ultramarine ones.
Yes.
Whose names I'm forgetting off the top of
my head. Tyrannic War Veterans.
Tyrannic War Veterans. All of them. And he takes out a Hive Tendril. Just solos it. Well, it's solo. But
slaughters
it. Yeah, they just go through and remove it from existence. Like, yeah. Because remember, when you kill a Hive Tendril, it will usually split into new hives. Not this one. This one's all gone.
Yep. they decimate it.
Yeah. And so now what we have is coming into the 41st millennia. Basically, the fate of the Imperium is sitting in the hands of Trajan and Gilliman. Although, as of like a year ago, now also Lion Johnson's here.
Do a better job in that codex.
I can't fix it. Yeah, I can't fix it. But the idea is Trajan and the custodes are now here to deliver the Imperium from the darkness into the light.
Well, they're movers and shakers, and they're not just great warriors. They're great diplomats. They're great. He's Bobby, not Bobby G level, but like still a wildly great bureaucrat.
Yeah.
He's slicing through. Hey, the Imperium is going to collapse.
Well, the advantage he has that he is a Lord of Terror, and the Lords of Terror are all afraid of him, so he can kind of do whatever he wants from a rule standpoint.
Well, it's a big thing that he's making things happen, though. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, the Eye of Terror became the Rift of Chaos. Shit is happening everywhere. Tyranids are coming to get us. I'm pretty done with all your your infighting.
Yeah, this has been cute. I was hanging out in the palace for a while.
Right.
I'm going to go stretch my legs.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, Bobby G's doing that. I'm going to fix all of this. And also, you can get on board, or I have a weapon that's wildly larger than you are, and I would kill all of you.
Yeah, I also have a misericordia, so I can use my real weapon to kill you, or just this.
Or my backup weapon.
Yeah, or my backup stabby thing. Yeah. Or, you know what, I'll just use this piece of paper. Yeah. I mean, like, he could John Wick the situation pretty quickly.
For sure. And the thing is that one of the things I love about Trajan, and I love great warriors, don't get me wrong, I love great stories, but I just love the fact that this guy is as imposing in every theater. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if he's at a meeting, if he's on a battlefield, you know, he's every time he is the master of his environment.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him a great, exciting character.
To be fair, Trajan's a really great character. His rules are useless. And the model, I hate the model.
He was so good, Leston.
Really?
Before the Codex.
I admit, but have you ever played Custodes?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen the size of Gilliman or the size of Lion and then seen the size of Trajan?
He is tiny.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be Primarch size.
He might actually, he should be Makari size.
That's my point. That's my issue. Is that
carry a banner.
That's actually like my biggest issue. Cause I a couple times is.
Wow. He's smaller than the regular wardens and stuff.
Didn't even realize that. Did you? Yeah.
I just started to think about it. He's actually smaller than a warden.
Yeah. It's driven me nuts for a while that when I play against people of Custodes, I went to build a Custode army, and that was what held me back.
He should be gigantic.
Like, yeah, all of them are, though. All the Custodes are the same size as a Primaris Marine.
That's annoying.
About the same size. They should be, yeah. The Gilliman model is 30% for, I mean, I have to, I don't have
a model. This is why you had to psych me out before this cast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's because that's the disappointment. So anyway, on that disappointing note, we'll actually break until next week. So next week, we're actually going to cover someone I like a lot in the lore, and God, their rules are useless. The Sisters of Silence. Models are cool, horrible pain in the ass to paint. Lore's incredible.
They did fix 7th edition.
Yeah, 10th edition rules are decently okay, but not great. And we'll cover that. So until next week, this has been John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This guy.